I started dancing.
A lot.
Like I would dance back when I was in London as well. I would finally get a room to my own to turn off the lights and put on my headphone and turn on my music and just dance, you know. And this really helped me really integrate all the music.
For many years, thousands of Nepalis have been moving overseas with the hopes of a better education, job, and lifestyle. Some find success in conventional fields, while some carve their own paths. Who is to say one is better than the other? Success is a journey, not a destination. So come on this journey with me, where we connect with our Nepali communities living overseas and explore their conventional and unconventional paths. My name is Sankalpa Gurung, and this is Hamro Yatra. Namaste and welcome to Hamro Yatra. In today's episode, we are joined by artist and activist Jerusha Rai. Born in Kathmandu, Nepal, Jerusha's love for music started early. Be it playing in bands or church choirs, music has always been a safe haven for them. They have always been interested in people, how societies work, and you can tell this curiosity has carried over into their music as well. In this episode, we go over Jerusha's childhood and the pressure they felt to conform to the individualized Western idea of society. At 19, they moved to the UK, where they connected with artists of Nepali diaspora, to whom they credit their knowledge and growth as an artist. Currently living in New York City, Jerusha also shares with us the personal elements that have played into making of each of their albums, which I believe has made their music special to their audience. We discussed involvement in Hathimala Collective, a volunteer-led organization, and the instrumental work they are doing in raising awareness and funds for the Dalit Bahujan movement. You can find details on how to support them on our show notes. Jerusha is humble and soulful. It was a pleasure getting to hear their story, and I hope it inspires you to take some time to reflect and go back to your roots to heal and liberate yourself. As always, if you enjoyed these conversations, please share with your friends and family. Remember to follow our Instagram page at hamro.yatra for updates, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and leave us a 5-star review. It helps other listeners find us. You can also financially support us on thisishamroyatra.com/support. A big shout out to Amir Gurung from Melbourne, Australia for your donation this week. It helps keep us going. Thank you.
Welcome to Hamro Yatra, Jerusha. Thank you for spending your time with us today.
Sewa, thank you, San, for having me.
Now, first thing we do in this podcast is just ask you a few icebreakers. Mm-hmm. The first question being, if you could choose any superpower, what would you choose?
Oh, wow.
I feel like this is such a silly question, but like, you know so much about a person by the superpower they select.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I feel like we all actually have this. To do psychic healing.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So amplify that power.
Yeah.
Mm. That'd be pretty cool. Ani, if you could have one dish for the rest of your life, what would you pick?
Sukha roti and raya kusag with tomato achar.
That's a first. A lot of people said dal bhat or momos.
Yeah, okay. I understand that too.
And if you could go back into Nepal's history, is there any particular moment you'd like to go back to?
Oh, probably would have to be pre-colonization, isn't it? Like, yeah, and before all of the, you know, really destructive systems came into place.
Before the class system.
Yes, very colonial ideology of taking us away from nature. I would like to, yeah, go back to a place where we were living in harmony with nature and with each other. Yeah.
That sounds like a very blissful period as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, Jerusha, born and raised in Kathmandu, Nepal, what was your childhood like? Tell us about young Jerusha.
I would say a little bit, my childhood was a bit unstable. Mm-hmm. We moved around a lot, and I lived in many different kinds of like a family arrangement. Mm-hmm. But you know, since childhood, I felt this kind of a magical sense about life.
Mm.
And when I think about my childhood, there have been many challenges, but I also look at it fondly because just the imagination you have when you're a child and the innocence. Yeah.
And in terms of schooling and growing up in Nepal, mm-hmm. did you ever feel pressure from your parents to be a certain way, mm-hmm. especially being the older child as well?
They were not the ones to pressure me, but I think because of our circumstances, mm. They were very concerned about like our future. We come from very modest means,
mm.
and my parents were very concerned about like, you know, just to have any kind of stability.
Of course.
And I too took these things very seriously, like... I felt like if I didn't study and if I didn't, you know, like work hard and, you know, then I would be unsafe in this world, unsafe in this system. Like there is no security for me in a very like individualized kind of society where everyone's just
out for themselves.
Yeah. So I would feel that when I was a child and I would work very hard. But I enjoyed learning too.
Mm.
So. Yeah, I guess school, I mean, you learn a lot more from life than from schooling.
Yes, definitely.
Schooling is often very kind of derailing and kind of kills your like spirit. But yeah.
I remember when I had to do my taxes for the first time and I thought, mm-hmm. why didn't we learn this in school? Why did we spend time learning about derivatives and all that nonsense yeah. when we don't use that in real life? Like, why didn't anyone teach us what savings is, like how credit works or how to do your taxes, you know?
Why weren't we taught, you know, how to grow food, you know, by ourselves, how to be self-sustaining,
mm.
you know, how to live in harmony with nature.
Mm-hmm. And then, Jerusha, you went to London for university.
Mm-hmm.
How was that transition for you like?
Oh, yes, I was 19 when I moved away. Yeah, I just start everything from scratch, I felt like, and it was quite foreign to live in that kind of place.
Did you have any relatives or family members in England at that time?
Yes, my younger sister was with me.
Mm.
Only my dad would come and go, sometimes stay with us.
Yeah.
But the two of us were together, and luckily I was able to connect with the Nepali diaspora there.
Mm.
So after that, I found some friends and especially some artist friends who really helped me like grow and find my place in the world. And, yeah.
Mm. And in terms of university, what did you study?
Bachelor's, I did sociology with psychology.
Oh, that's interesting because I think I read somewhere that you were working as a visual designer as well.
Oh, yeah. I've put my fingers in many different things.
And that's why I thought like, oh, when you went to London for university, I was like, oh, maybe like, you know, you did degree in like visual designing or designing of some sorts.
Yeah.
And now you said you did sociology and psychology. And I'm like very interested yeah. to find out how did you go from that degree to finding a job in visual designing?
Well, right now I'm not doing visual designing either. Like right now I'm working as a bilingual interpreter.
Mm.
So I'm speaking to like Nepali people all day over the phone and yeah, mostly medical and yeah, sometimes legal and
right.
Things like that. And I think I got into sociology because generally I'm just very interested in people about to finding out how we work, you know, how our societies work and things like that. And this curiosity, I mean, like it carries over to my music also and sociology, music, they complemented each other. And kind of sociology was also a way for me to find out more about my own history, about my own culture.
Yeah.
I won't say that you have to study sociology to realize these things, but, you know, it got very important for me, like being very away from my land, displaced from my land, from my people, to reconnect and really find out who I am, where I come from.
Yeah.
And sociology was a tool, one of the tools through which I was able to like research, investigate, you know, try to go after that.
Mm. And in 2016, you released your first album, A Dark Place to Think.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what prompted you to release an album? Was it in years in making or just something that you wanted to do once you reached London?
Yeah, at that point, before I started my working on my album, I've been playing music for a long time.
Yeah.
And in different bands, girl bands, back in Nepal, Kathmandu, you know, just competing in battle of the bands, singing in church choirs and things like that. And my mom, I have to thank my mom because she was the one who always encouraged this kind of music. Do music, she said. I don't know if she saw that I was a very sensitive child and that it helped me.
Mm.
She would encourage me to do music. And anyway, and in London as well, I got to connect with many different musicians. And I got to learn a lot from them. Namely, I will have to acknowledge Shreya Rai, you know?
Mm.
She's my sister, my soul sister. And she taught me a lot. And I remember those days fondly where I could spend time with like Shirish Gurung, filmmaker, Mirasathi.
Mm.
All of those Awish, all my friends.
I did see a video of you and Shreya Rai performing together as well, like one of those backyard sessions.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. And I worked with many different bands there as well. I collaborated. I was exploring a lot of different sounds and different approaches to music and songwriting a lot. And I also got into producing my own music. And this got very important to me that I produce it myself because being a woman, I guess, being a queer person, I felt like I really needed to make a stand to be like, we can do this too, you know, even though like the male gatekeepers will be like, oh, no, you can't. We have to be like, actually, you know.
I can do it.
And then started learning to produce myself and also the kind of ideas I wanted to express through my music. I felt like I had to make them myself.
Mm.
Yes. And I think I came to the point of making an album when I finally moved to America, where I'm now, occupied Turtle Island.
Yeah.
Yes, I felt even more displaced now, being away from my friends in London and the kind of sanctuary I had in the Nepali diaspora there.
Yeah.
Like my space with my friends who really understand me creatively and spiritually.
Mm.
And I felt very displaced here, even more so. Because of the American colonial culture, capitalist culture, that didn't suit my soul at all. And I felt even more kind of need to connect to my ancestors, to my history, to my roots. And then because I couldn't find jobs immediately here, I didn't really know many people here.
Yeah.
I also had a little bit of time to just sit down and do work on my album, I guess, make music and process all my feelings through it. And that's how it came to be. A Dark Place to Think, where I was having that kind of a lonely space. And I was depressed as well, I would have to be honest. And just staying there and kind of taking that space to think about all of these things.
To acknowledge it and to just be in it instead of running away from it, I know.
Yes.
Yeah. Ani, how long did the process take to come up with the album? Because I know a lot of people, like, it can take years or it can take months for you because it's been such a process of moving from one place to another and it's come out of a need to keep yourself sane.
Mm.
First album produced garnu chai kati time lagyo?
Some of the songs I had been working for 6 years. Like Parade Onne, it's a very long song. Kind of lived through those 6 years with that. And then some songs I finished in 3 days, like Native Strange. Just write, record, finish. Produce, finish, 3 days. You know? So it varied and the process. And also I started dancing.
A lot.
Like I would dance back when I was in London as well. I would finally get a room to my own and to turn off the lights and put on my headphone and turn on my music and just dance, you know. And this really helped me really integrate all the music with my body, with movement.
Yeah.
And I really like sharing this with people because it feels so liberating. And I hope that people can use this dance and movement and music to kind of heal themselves, process through things. Yeah, and that influenced my album a lot too. Dancing, that's why it's got a lot of rhythmic beats too.
Oh, I love that. And Jerusha, in 2018, then your Sun Sun album came out, I know. Mm. How different was that process compared to your first?
Because A Dark Place to Think, I worked on everything on my own.
Mm.
I just gave the final mastering to Yugal Gurung, a musician, I know.
Mm.
And for Sun Sun, I would say I was even in a more darker place because it came out in 2019, and in 2018, my bipolar disorder got very bad.
Mm.
And I had to spend some time in an institution also. When I listen back to that album, I feel my like kind of fragility, how fragile I was at that time. Just tried to put everything together, and I had to get help from other producer friends, and some brilliant friends have worked on some of the production in the songs, and some of the songs I had Poila Dekhine, like Barud, Aina, Ani, Aba Bhanne Chaini, someone else, Bikil Stapit Bhanne, photojournalist had written about civil war ma disappear hunu bhayeko mancheharuko barema, Ani lekhera pathaunu bhayeko thiyo. I just put the music and they allowed me to put it in the album. Yesari jordai jordai lyako, and it has a lot of symbolic language, a lot of spiritual language, and because that's what the state of my mind was at that time, because I had gone through a kind of, my manic episode got really bad, and then I got psychosis, and I started thinking very much in like various symbols, and everything got mixed up in my head because I would read a lot about all different kinds of mythologies, and everything got connected in my head, like about politics or any, everything all came together at once, and it got too much for me because all these things were related to my trauma, and you know, all the generational trauma, and then I don't know. Yeah, it was a
outlet khalko bhayo.
Outlet bhayo, and it was an attempt. I it sounds very fragile. I don't know if I said what I needed to say, but yeah.
For me, when I listen to your songs, Abba is my favorite, and I don't even know why. I can't tell you what about it that I like so much, but it's just listening to it. It doesn't make me happy, but it also just grounds me. Ani, like, I know Borrowed is like one of your popular songs,
yes,
but I just connected with Abba so much, and that you talking about it now makes me think, oh, maybe like I need to re-listen to what it's actually saying, because I'm just like feeling the music and just going along, and
yes,
like I just really resonated with it without knowing why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of longing in that.
Mm.
A lot of processing through grief, and kind of grounding, you said. That's very interesting to me because I tried to use Tungna on that.
Okay.
And these folk instruments I really like because they make me feel close to elements, like Tungna is made of wood and animal skins, and these natural things are very grounding, I feel like. Yep.
Yeah, Ani, I know in your music, not only just Nepali instruments, you also use other cultures like traditional instruments, I know. Where do you get this inspiration from?
I think just acknowledging how we are all connected all throughout the planet, you know, especially us indigenous peoples. And our ways were very similar, and we lived like that for many thousand years. We can see that our tools are similar, our musical instruments are similar, and we can see the similarities between our music, our ceremonies, you know.
3-4 years ago, I had a secondment with the Aboriginal community here. One of the things was they don't have a word for thank you. Because when you teach something to someone, the way they would thank the other person is by paying it forward. So by them teaching that skill to somebody else. So they don't actually have a word for thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And so just simple things like this, like really make you think about like, wow, you know, they're the indigenous community.
Yeah.
But they were so advanced in the way they thought.
Yes, right? Very much so. So much wisdom to be found. Yes. And so practical too. Like people, still modern people think like, oh, it's so naive and you're just being very, you know. But actually, this is very practical and in how to live your life and things like that.
Yeah. And like that whole community feeling, like Unsani, when you have a kid in the family, that saying goes like, you need a whole village to raise children, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whose kid that is, mm-hmm. someone will look after them, like if you're in a community.
Yeah.
That Askalaka society, but that's not there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit sad that we're moving away from such important values.
Definitely. And, you know, and many people, oppressors, are invested in like keeping us from these truths.
Mm.
So, yeah, we really need to be vigilant and really actively seek out the truth and share with each other like this. Yes.
100%. Now, Jerusha, I also know that you're heavily involved with Hatemalo Collective.
Mm-hmm.
For people who don't know much about it, could you tell us the important work that the organization is doing and how people can get involved if they want to?
Mm-hmm, definitely. And thank you for asking. Hatemalo Collective right now is a team of volunteers from Dalit community and indigenous communities. And right now we are trying to support the Dalit Bhojan movement, Adivasi movement, through mutual aid and public discussions. We also recently did the Hatemalo Festival, where Dalit and indigenous artists, activists, academics came together from all different parts of the world to, you know, be one voice against caste, against the caste atrocities, and against the caste system. And I feel like it is very important for us to come together, realize our collective power. And we have been doing this. We have been doing this for a long time. And I think we just need to get organized now. And amongst ourselves, it doesn't really have to be like one collective. We can all do different things from different places. And right now, through Hatemalo Collective, we are doing a lot of five different fundraisers right now, mutual aid fundraisers. And I'd like to share this link with you, Ponye.
Of course.
Yeah, with all the listeners. And please have a look. We are raising funds for families of murdered Dalits, for helping Musahar children get higher education. Another one is for Ruang Kornali, which is Far West Nepal Ma Dalit-led arts program. They are really trying to like decolonize arts education itself. I know. Please look through their ideas. They have brilliant ideas. Dalit community is already organized. They can already lead the movement. All we have to do is get behind them, you know, support
them.
Yes, and Dalit activists have time and again said that we can support financially right now to the movement and in taking care of people who have been historically marginalized, especially we have to focus. Yes, so Hatemalo ko link in bio oruma. We have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We are sharing links there. You can find it on my socials also. And please have a look. Please donate and share. Right?
And I did attend the music festival, and that festival was so well organized.
Oh.
Anytime the hilera, the visuals, everything was so well done.
Yes.
That day, I was just blown away. It was very well done. And I also love that you send regular updates on how the funds are being used.
Yes.
And a lot of times when you donate, you don't hear back. Right? You don't see how that funds are being used. You don't hear back anything from the organizers, but you do such a well job of updating the people who've donated.
Yes. Hatemalo Collective, it consists of, I have to say, like very brilliant, very fiercely compassionate people. And I'm so grateful to be part of this team because they are all so brilliant and so kind. And I'm learning a lot from them. Ani, this mutual aid, the idea of mutual aid is that we are not just giving charity. You know, we are trying to get to a place where we don't have to get give charity, you know, like, because, yeah, it's not just about throwing money at a problem. It's continuing to speak out against the actual problems, reasons that are causing all these problems. We have to name them in order to fight with them. So, yeah, and recognizing how, like, Munsani Amro, liberation is connected.
Mm-hmm.
Ani, how Dalit Bhojan unity like this work is important in many, many different problems that is going on, you know, all this rampant inequality, all this violence, honey, just everything going out of balance, you know. And through this mutual aid, it has changed me a lot, I would have to say, like concerning my personal life.
Definitely such an important work that you're doing. So thank you and the Hatemala Collective team for taking this initiative. And I'll definitely, if you send me the link as well, I'll leave the link to the page and the GoFundMe page as well in the show notes.
Okay.
Now, Jerusha, what's next for you? I know you're in New York City. You're working as a translator at the moment.
Yeah.
Any plans of going back to Nepal or a new album maybe in the works?
Yes. And I'm slowly getting back to music making. I feel like, yeah, there's still some music in me that I would like to share. Yeah, I just want to be useful in community and share this kind of whatever healing I've learned. And yeah, definitely one day get back to the land.
Ani London phargine bichar chai chha ki chaina?
No, probably not London. Probably Nepal I forkincha pachhi tira. Yeah. I still have some things to do, I feel like, and in time.
Now, with everything that you've been involved in, the different things you've been doing, the different experiences you've had, Jerusha, what does success mean to you now?
Yeah, I guess just day-to-day, continuously working towards our collective liberation, you know. And I feel very strengthened now that I have met many of these people who share the same vision and, who are willing to work for it. Yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't think about my individual success. Mala ta kehi ko career pani chaina, I just want to be useful. I want everybody to have freedom to be liberated and to be able to fully thrive and live our truth. And
So for anyone who is lost or feel trapped, Aina, what would your advice be for them?
Know that, you know, what shackles you is not just like your individual problem. It is connected to like all these many different forces. It is connected to our healing is connected to each other. And I would like to actually ceremony bhanne book pardai chu. This is by Leslie Marmon Silko. Yako, Native American author, and I was also at the same time like to acknowledge Oily, I'm living and sheltered and working in sacred Munsilinape land. And I'm very grateful to be learning a lot from the indigenous peoples here as well. And in this book, it says it is about is the sick person ko journey, kind of like a psychically sick or like mentally ill, you could say, like kunsani, but they are trying to find healing through their ancestral ways, through really knowing who we are, ana, really knowing our spiritual selves. And it says here how psychotherapy works, achel unsani, how all this kind of a colonial way of thinking about spirituality and wellness works in a way is that timi ho, timro problem ho, timile afai solve garne ho. This is not how medicine works, you know. It says here, medicine don't work that way. This sickness was only part of something larger, and his cure would be found only in something great and inclusive of everything. So I hope we can realize all of these connections. And this we see, we have so much of medicine available to us and that our ancestors have passed on. Dancing, say music. These are all everybody of us can do. Artistarle matte garne haina yo huncha ni. Use this for your healing. Dance, move, and be in nature. Know that you can work towards everybody's liberation. Huncha ni afno within pani you can fight with these energies. Ani bahira pani you will become strong enough to like speak your truth. Ani speak truth for each other and. I don't know. I'm going off on tangents.
No, Haina, I think it makes sense. It's not just about you. You live in a society. It's about going back to your roots, Haina. Ani, a lot of the times I think we forget that we've become so, like, we've been living in this society where, like you said, individualism is highly preferred. Like, you sort of forget. It's like everyone, every man for themselves, Haina.
Yeah.
So I think it's time to break that facade and actually start thinking about, like, how, because our ancestors are so smart.
Yeah.
Like, start thinking about what they used to do and how you can incorporate that in your lives today. Yes. I know, like, you don't have to leave everything and go live in the caves, but you can still incorporate their ideologies and like their way of thinking into your lives and live a very fulfilled life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and there are many things like learning about native plants or so many things we can do, you know, and all this medicine that is available. And especially this medicine, I hope women and queer people can use music, dance, because our body may iti violence kore ko sa like unsa ni. Ani our body but a disembodied feel unsa, okay? Because our body has become site of so much violence and only to disembodied feel unne. So like I hope this dance, music, all of this practice, movement can bring us back to our body, make us feel safe within ourselves. Only dhere kura haru cha yasto.
Yeah, and I can definitely vouch for dancing. I love dancing. Day music sune pani, like, I can just dance. Sometimes I don't even need music. Like, I can just dance to my thoughts, which is a bit crazy, but I'll do it. So thank you so much for your time today, Jerusha. It was lovely chatting with you. And thank you for sharing your story with us, you know, being open about your story. We wish you all the best, and we are waiting to see what your next album sounds like, because I'm pretty sure I'll be dancing to that as well.
I'm so thankful for your time as well, San. Ani, this has been really lovely. Thank you for your company. Ani, is it okay if I just recite one poem that I'd written?
Of course,
It's like a poem, prayer, I remember, return, bunny. I ventured hungry into the world, seven pairs of ears unfurled, double steps and sudden twirls, must have seemed a strange creature. Looks as if nothing can reach her but the lost song, ancient song. I remember the day sisters refused to comb their hair and brothers cut off their own braids. But before the language has died, the many spirit siblings will revive the lost laughter, ancient laughter. Made of breath and muddy hands, so deep the bond with anguished land that they mistake us for warrior clan. The beat, the bloom, and shadow play make barbed wire fences melt away for the lost children, ancient children. And as I pray for their return, sharpen tools that help discern the danger that lurks at every turn. Before the thought came intuition, matter can warp to mind's vision, holding close innocent origins of the lost people, ancient people.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Is that your own poem?
Yes, sir.
Oh my God, that is beautiful.
I wrote it, I channeled it, I guess. So, thank you so much. I just wanted to share with everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening, and whoever is listening through space and time. And thank you, San, for facilitating.
It's my pleasure. I am so happy to be doing this.
Yeah, we do.
As always, if you enjoy these conversations as much as I do, please share with your friends and family. If you'd like to share your feedback, you can reach us on Instagram at hamro.yatra or email askhamroyatra@gmail.com. I love hearing from you, so keep them coming.